Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Went on for daily editorial this Thursday, so Joe Biden finally went down to Florida. Apparently Jimmy and I were talking off mic about a joint press conference that Biden and DeSantis had. Jimmy, let's start with Biden's trip to Florida and then kind of segue into the press conference.
There was a lot of concern that Biden would not actually talk to DeSantis as the hurricane approached, and you know, there's a lot of media discussion, and the White House actually kind of ignored DeSantis. But the president did realize that he had to get down there. The president that we see out there, which is kind of someone else, the puppet masters, realized that Biden needed to go down there. And yeah. So yesterday they had a press conference with Ron DeSantis. And basically he congratulated DeSantis and said what a great job he was doing. So that was the beginning of what he was saying. Mm-hmm. But then he rolled into statements on, hey, that the debate on climate change is over, this is climate change. And really, you know, even the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Agency, the NOAA, and others have said, hey, this is not climate change, this is a storm. And when you look at the data, we've actually had a reduction in impactful hurricanes in the U.S. over the last decade. And yeah. Globally, we've had, you know, it's been down. So it was a false narrative, but that narrative is important, a very important political narrative for Democrats to continue this move towards grabbing power and control through fear in order to push green agendas, in order to push green technologies, in order to enrich themselves and give global corporations more power and take away more independence from individuals, including taking away, ultimately their personal vehicles with gas and personal, lawn equipment in California, all kinds of things. And of course, it is about control. It's not really about climate change at all. And unfortunately, Biden continued that message yesterday, certainly by his staff. And of course, then there were some other stupid mistakes that he made in his day in Florida. Yeah.
Jimmy, I got a question for you. You know, Joe Biden has been nothing other than a politician for the last 50 years of his life. Do you think that the president actually believes in climate change? I mean, there are a lot of very intelligent people out there, including Al Corlin and Jim McKinney, who think climate change is to a large extent a bit of a hoax. And that's based, as far as I'm concerned, that's based on some books that we've read in our book club by scientists who refute a lot of the arguments. Do you think in Biden's case he is simply pushing this because that's what the progressives really seem to want?
I think that, okay, first of all, I want to clarify my position on climate change. The climate changes. I accept that. The climate changes. Whether or not it's man-made, how quickly it changes, how much of an impact it has on the United, on the world, that's a completely different argument. And what the data shows is that we are making a lot. I mean, not we, but in some people are using this as a fear campaign and basically to get control. When in fact, there's no clear evidence that it is having the impact that many of these people have said. And, you go right back to out.
Yeah.
So that's my position on it. The climate changes, I accept that. The best way to deal with it is thinking it through and not cutting off our, nose to spite our face,
right,
which is what some of these people are really pushing.
Yeah.
So then specifically with Joe Biden, I believe that Joe Biden doesn't really think about any of this stuff anymore. I think he does whatever he needs to appease his political supporters. I think his staff is now writing these documents and writing this information, and he has no control over it. I think he has no core moral compass, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think that's That's been proven with the corruption issues with Hunter Biden. It's been proven over and over again with his just lack of candor and his actual public lies about himself and his history. That's why he was pushed out of the 1988 campaign for president then, and was never allowed to do it again until there was enough media control to protect him from the Democratic Party. Keep his lies under control. I think Biden is basically racist. I think he's not very bright. I think he is a chameleon politically. And I don't think he's even competent enough to understand what's happening right now. And then he's just given text.
With his current mental state is what you're saying.
Yes.
You know, I would agree with that. I think Joe Biden has simply gotten to be just a little bit too old to handle the job. You know, and that's not saying he's a really bad person or whatever. I mean, I don't agree with him whatsoever. And you know that. And our listeners know that. But I think the fact of the matter is he's just too old, that's all.
Well, I think I don't trust him as a good person. I just don't.
He's been proven over and over again with his actions through his son, over and over.
And I don't think he's a good manager, and I don't think he has a good staff. He's not a good leader. So here's the problem when you have for any manager, any leader, you yourself are not carrying the whole load. It's really about the people that you put in place and the staffing that supports you that all believe in a particular agenda and move forward with it. And that agenda should be, for someone that's elected to the office of the president of the United States, should be to support and defend the Constitution and protect the American people at all best interest.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, Jimmy. I mean, a really good example of what you're talking about is what the show has evolved into. I mean, I realize that we have a service to our listeners. I realize that you have a passion to learn as much as you can, opine as much as you can on political issues. And so I've given you the reins much more than I would to anybody else, because I think that makes this a better program. It doesn't matter who does what. What matters is the product that is received, and the product has to be quality and truthful, which this program is. In terms of the presidency, I don't think Biden's got a lot to do with being, with that particular office. Do you?
No, I think, and again, the staffing right now is they all have an ideology and an agenda.
Right.
But also, I will say, because of the way they've pushed the diversity and the racial identity and the woke policies in their administration, they probably have not hired the most competent people. And it's apparent in Kamala Harris. It's apparent in some of the speechwriters. They don't understand the American public, the political needs of the American public, and the actual leadership needs of the American public, or they just completely disregard it.
Right.
Either way, it's incredibly damaging right now to America.
Of course it is. I mean, we have slipped from number one to number three, in my opinion, in terms of world power.
Yeah, we're fading an unbelievable rapid pace.
Yeah.
We've always had problems, right? But we've grown and gained because of our competence and our desire to actually do what's best, and having open debate and press, which actually pushes these things back and forth to, right or wrong. And right or wrong, a lot of people say, well, there's always a gray area in there. Well, actually, I believe there is what's good and there's what's bad. And bad things are something you should not support.
No.
So, what we're seeing right now, I think, is a level of incompetence that will be proven. And I think a level of corruption that will be proven over the next year.
How's that going to be proven, in your opinion, Jim?
So I'm fairly confident that in spite of the potential corruption in the election system, unless Dominion and some of these these software companies that are controlled by the CCP completely run the elections.
Yeah.
I think that's actually going to be pretty hard to do. I think because we have such a dispersed system and there's been so much attention, there's going to be a lot of observers out there, a lot of people counting votes. There's a possibility we still have in some of these districts, like, well, in California and Washington State and Oregon, that you'll have some level of corruption because of the mail-in ballots, probably in New York, that you won't be able to manage. But the rest of the country is going to have a much different view and look at it. And so I believe that you're going, this is what I predict, that you're going to have a Republican House. And there's, I predict there's going to be a surprise, and at least three Senate seats are going to roll towards the Republicans for a 53-47 majority.
Jimmy, why do you think that's going to happen?
Well, I think there's some places that the polling right now are not as accurate. I think Herschel Walker is probably going to beat Warnock, in spite of the fact that Herschel Walker is probably not the greatest candidate in the world. I think Bulldog is probably going to win in New Hampshire. I think that's a close race. Smiley in Washington State.
Oh boy, I don't know. Patty Murray's she's a pretty tough broad, Jim.
Well, she's but you know, she hasn't done anything except for campaign on abortion, and that's really not.
Well, that's what I mentioned a couple of, you know, we started talking about Smiley and Murray a couple of months ago, but that's all I've ever seen, right?
So I think you're going to see some. I think you're going to be see a few surprises. Nevada is definitely going to go probably to Laxalt. You're going to see some changes. At least one or two seats are going to make a big difference.
Yeah.
Three seats would be very powerful. But in the House, I think you're going to see a very large change. And with that, you're going to see certainly the political attacks are going to shift.
Yeah.
You're seeing a lot of these candidates that were, you know, America Firsters that really don't identify with the mainstream Republican Party, with the McConnells and the McCarthys, mm-hmm. and even Ronna McDaniel. You know, some of the people that actually operate the Republican National Committee are not the most conservative, or they look at things in a very different way.
Yeah.
A lot of these candidates that have been, that I think are going to have surprise victories, are true, you know, committed America First candidates. With that pressure, and if you swing the public to, it shows with the congressional seats that the public is tired of the wokeness, they're tired of the border, they're tired of the crime, they're tired of the inflation, they're tired of the debacles overseas with Ukrainian war, with the Afghan, you know, withdrawal.
Yeah.
They're fed up with that, and I think you're going to see that. And when you do, those same groups are going to be pushing very hard politically in open hearings. So you're going to see attacks on Anthony Fauci in hearings. You're going to see the opening up of the CDC. You're going to see a very strong pushback on DOJ and the FBI and Homeland Security because of what they've been doing to target conservative either activists or just, you know, pro-life supporters. It's incredible what they've done. When that happens, you're going to see in my view, the Democrats have focused so hard on their extreme left-wing agenda, the progressive agenda, that they're going to lose the middle ground. The independents and a lot of moderate Democrats are going to
say, well, I hope you're right. I know, I got to tell you, Jimmy, I hope you're right. I'm getting just a different impression from the progressives who I talk to. Your former neighborhood, I have to say, Jim, has turned into a very, very progressive neighborhood. We've got about 60% progressives here as opposed to what it was when you were still active.
Yeah, I was happy to leave it because they just,
I know you were.
They left California, or they left Seattle because of the crime, because of the violence, because of the prices, because of the taxes. And they come up, they vote the exact same way, and they make the same arguments. They are stupid. They are inconsistent people, and they will not accept a different view. And it's, I mean, I'm sorry to say, but there's so many of them that just cannot open their mind, take away the emotion, and start looking logically at their own arguments and realize that they are completely incongruent from one objective to another.
I think people are quite frankly, very, very fearful of leaving the status quo. I think a lot of people feel that what's going on in the United States is just fine. They don't mind paying a lot of money for gas. They don't mind the fact that we have a runaway inflation right now. And they don't mind because they don't think about it, Jim.
Because it doesn't affect them, because the people around you live in very nice houses in a gated community and live very well, and they're living off retirement, and they don't think it's that big of a deal until maybe a year or two later, and they realize, oh my God, I'm just lost, you know, a huge percentage of my retirement income. You know, looking at their, they can't be happy about their 401ks now.
No, they can't.
But they don't. They aren't affected by, you know, until somebody moves a plane load of people, 50 illegal immigrants into Martha's Vineyard, people don't worry about that. If someone brought 50, you know, illegal immigrants into Semiahmoo where you live, all of a sudden they'd freak out too, and they'd want them out of there immediately.
You bet.
So they really don't have a consistent view of the world. They're driven by emotion, and unfortunately they're driven by the media and the manipulation that's been really effective in basically, in my view, a level of brainwashing. You know, mass formation psychosis is some of the psychologists talk about today.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I'm hoping that by about mid-November, because we will definitely know by mid-November exactly the results of the election, and I'm hoping that by mid-November it's going to be pretty obvious that Jim McKinney is absolutely correct. Jimmy, we're up to 16 minutes. Where do you want to go from here?
Well, I do just want to finish that. I hope that I'm correct. We'll see.
I hope you are too,
I predicted 2020 that Trump should win, and he was 76 million votes. He should have won.
Yeah.
But you never know what's going to happen here.
No, because, you know,
as CFS said back at the time, I think the corruption's deep, and I think he's right on that, unfortunately.
Oh, I think he's 100% right. I think he's 1,000% right. The only people I disagree with on the blog, and I don't disagree with them because I dislike them. I disagree with them because I think their opinions are incorrect. I still think America is not an evil empire.
No,
Some people think it is. I don't think so.
They do. And, you know, we've made the United States in policy and numerous policies have made major mistakes.
Right.
There's no question about
it.
Because either self-interest or corruption or ignorance.
Right.
But fundamentally, the Constitution, the basic principles this nation was founded on, has driven the world to a better place. And if we lose it, there's no other example.
Yeah.
There is no other example. Now we have to bring it back into the realm of constitutionality. We got to get back into where it's transparent. We've got to stop the deep level of corruption from
all 100%.
And as John continues to argue, somebody's got to stop the crazy spending that's going on out there.
Of course they do.
It's unbelievable. And
the
unfortunate part about it is, we don't have politicians that are willing to do that because they are taking care of their local community by these trade-offs.
Right.
Somebody's got to stand up and say enough is enough. And let's hope that with a new, and again, it's hope, but it actually looks to me like a lot of these candidates are very strongly in that camp that are, that were really Make America Greater, you know, America First candidates. And they're going to be able to make a change. There's a possibility. And if we look, the other option is to quit.
Yeah.
If we quit, we will just sit back and suffer in this boil water, you know, this the frog in the cold water that sits there while it boils.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Jim. Jimmy, thank you so much. You guys, we're going to be putting together the weekend show tomorrow. We will still do a daily editorial. Enough things are happening on a daily basis that we feel that that's very, very important. Got a really interesting show this weekend. There's a movie coming out about Anthony Fauci, and the producer of that movie is going to be a guest on our program. Jimmy, thanks so much, bud.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.